Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to our behemoth of a Miami Grand Prix recap.
Miami.
I've been here for too long. I love it. It's going to be an insane recap. There's a lot that we have to talk about. So, I mean, I kind of wish this was a boring race because then we could just talk about our experience and then be like, oh, and the race was standard, but this was not a standard race. So buckle in, we have so much to talk about. So we're going to start by recapping kind of like the experience, all the amazing things that we did with Marriott Bonvoy, and then get into a full race recap, including F1 Academy. With that, I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. All right. So our experience, first of all, we have been here with Marriott Bonvoy, which has been amazing. We have stayed at the Ritz-Carlton here on South Beach. So we checked into the hotel on Wednesday night after the F1 Academy Pilates event. We had the best night ever editing the episode, prepping for Thursday interviews, which there will be lots of live footage of our behind the scenes. We got room service. It was lovely.
Wait, I need to jump in on the room service thing here to talk about the amazing service that we had with...
Well, Chessa doesn't know how to use a desk phone.
I was having a little bit of an issue ordering the room service with the room phone. So you called on my regular phone and then they're like, oh no, is your phone broken? I was like, yes. They sent up the most incredible engineer to come fix the phone. And he brought this little chocolate hammer as like a token of like, sorry for the inconvenience. It was incredible service, but it turns out he had to just teach me to use the phone. So that was great.
Very nice man. But shout out to the team that made all of this happen at Marriott, Lucy and Gwen, among many others, I'm sure. But they are the absolute MVPs. Happy belated birthday to Lucy. And Gwen was with us all weekend. And we just had the best time talking all things F1. And it was so fun. We're so grateful for the experience. So thank you both. And thank you to the team. We will dive into our entire Marriott experience, going to the Mercedes Miami Club every day, Paddock Club, the surprise Mercedes garage tour, which I'm still recovering from. So we'll do all that throughout the episode, but we just had the best weekend of our lives and can't wait to talk about everything we've done.
So on Thursday, before we jump into everything that we did with Marriott, we have to say that we obviously did the Checo interview. I'm having a hard time like even articulating it because it was insane. I'm also so tired. But it was so fun. We had a big Red Bull day with them. We interviewed Checo and Liam Lawson, which was surreal. We actually know that they deserve their entire own episodes. That's going to be coming on Thursday. And then they also did an amazing sort of like day-long event at a separate track outside of Miami. We got to interview the Al-Kubaisi sisters, Hamda and Amna. And then we also interviewed Lindsey Vonn, the absolute dominant Alpine multiple Olympic champion, medalist, skier. She's such a legend. And she's also a lifelong F1 fan. So we had very interesting conversation with her and we'll be releasing that as a separate interview soon as well.
Also on Thursday night, we went to this amazing Red Bull dinner. It was actually so cool. Red Bull as an organization has so much more going on outside of F1. Obviously, they're dominant and killing it in F1. But the absolute just...
what's the word? Family.
Yeah, the absolute family and machine that Red Bull is, with marketing, with artists, with all these different athletes across so many different sports and creators. So it was so cool at dinner to meet a bunch of those people. There was a snowboarder there. There were rock climbers. There were like free jumpers or pilots or whoever, but just like these crazy, amazing athletes and so many creators and creative people there with Red Bull. So it was just really cool to see the broader organization thrive and just how creative and fun everyone is. So we absolutely loved that dinner. And it was also on a beautiful kind of island sort of off South Beach overlooking the water.
It was yeah, beautiful. That was good. We had really good salmon. It was great. Okay, let's talk about Friday. So it does kind of feel like our race weekend started on Wednesday, but actually the race weekend officially started on Friday. We made it to the track for our first day, had a very, very full day. And so we started it over at F1 Academy because we can't forget that they also had their big race weekend here in Miami. So we got to explore their paddock for the weekend. Stick around for the end of the episode where we talk about sort of like their results and everything that happened. But they did such an incredible job this weekend. They kind of opened up the paddock for fans. Fans could kind of see all the way down, see all of the different garages, and kind of throughout the weekend, there was just such a hubbub happening around the F1 Academy paddock. There was people and fans waiting for posters with the drivers, photos, autographs, just a lot of action, a much bigger platform for them this year, which is incredibly well deserved. And it was fun for us to kind of like see things happening behind the scenes. They had an incredible hospitality setup, which we'll talk about because there was a lot of big names that came through. But there was like even a Charlotte Tilbury glam station there. And it was just very, very buzzy on Friday. That was the day that Kendall Jenner came through. She's part of the Tommy Hilfiger family. And Tommy Hilfiger is sponsoring Maria Marti's car this year. So it was just like it was like a pinch us moment because when we were there in Austin with them last year, that was the beginning of like we're just getting started. The beginning of showcasing this amazing platform, and to see that people were really just coming to the race and showing up all that for F1 Academy itself. And it did not feel like an afterthought at all. Not that it did in Austin, but it just makes us so happy to see this is like a really good race weekend for them happening in parallel to the F1 race itself. So it was very exciting.
Yeah, I fully second all of that. It was so fun to see the growth from Austin to now in Miami. And I'm sure there's just more room to grow and so much more to come. But it was really cool to see. My favorite part was just that the garages and the cars were accessible to fans, that they could just kind of walk through and see the drivers and how excited the drivers were to be signing autographs. And I got chills every time walking around and just hearing people like talk about F1 Academy, just, you know, kind of in the like, oh, did you catch that F1 Academy quali? Like, that was so great or so cool. And people you wouldn't necessarily expect to be fans. Like, I was like watching older, like listening to older men like talk about it.
It's
and
incredible.
I was just like, that's amazing. This is just so cool. I got chills multiple times this weekend. So super excited to see all of that support and all of that excitement surrounding the series. We then spent the day with Marriott and Mercedes in Paddock Club, which was amazing. And it's such a cool spot to watch from since it literally overlooks both the paddock and then also the pit lane. And so this is where we saw Kendall Jenner with Susie and Tommy taking pictures and kind of walking around. We also spotted Ed Sheeran walking through the pit lane, which was cool.
The Paddock Club is such an interesting thing. So this is our first time at the Paddock Club. So like to kind of explain it, and I think it's different at every race, but here they had all of these different sort of like suites. So Mercedes had one, Ferrari had one, some of the teams had theirs, and you basically get to sit with the team all day, and they have really amazing programming. So while we were there, we got to hear from Mick Schumacher himself, which is the Mercedes reserve driver, and he's just so incredible and so like held the crowd so well. And their Mercedes is so organized. So he stood up on the stage and behind him, they had all of these different graphics showing. And he was like kind of talking through the weekend using these graphics as a cue. My favorite part was they kind of like had a graphic of what the track looked like. And then they overlaid like weather and sonar stuff. And then were drawing all these different arrows to think about like where the wind might affect certain areas of the track. And he was like literally pointing and being like, oh, the wind might cause like understeer or oversteer here. And like giving us such cool insight that like how a driver thinks about the race weekend. So that was really exciting. And then they also had Esteban Gutierrez, who is sort of like a Mercedes team ambassador. He's a former F1 driver. He's also Mexican. So I was very excited to talk to him about that. And yeah, they definitely just line it up. And the level of insight and experience that you get from being in the Paddock Club is incredibly unique. And Tiggy also had an incredibly unique experience.
Oh my gosh. I got surprised with a Mercedes garage tour. Thank you, Marriott. Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, whoever made this happen. But
God, is that you?
I was like, what did I do to deserve this? I'm so excited. So went down in the garage, and because Mercedes had brought upgrades and because it was a time of the day where the cars were being worked on, so some of it was like open, the car was open bodywork. So you couldn't take any pictures, no videos. That's why you did not see anything on our stories, because we want to respect the proprietary information
also,
that exists.
Would go to jail.
I would never give away Mercedes secrets. but it was so cool. I learned so much. I literally, after I got to take my phone out again, I typed up every single note and thing that our tour guide, I don't know if that's the right word, but the person escorting us through the garage just wrote down every single thing he said, because he gave us so many cool educational snippets that we'll definitely be talking about more and doing kind of reels on and that sort of thing. But a couple highlights that were really cool. So we got to see the fuel laboratory, which when we went to Austria and we got a tour of the McLaren garage, we didn't see a fuel lab because only the teams that have customer teams have those fuel laboratories. So Mercedes, their customer teams are McLaren, Williams, Aston Martin, and they have to use Petronas fuel. And so Mercedes gives them that fuel and those teams have to send those back for testing to Mercedes in the garage in this like sort of oil laboratory. And they get tested for a bunch of different stuff and the FIA also tests them. But it was cool to see it was looking like kind of a science lab in the garage with all this crazy machinery that some of that machinery is only used in like making chocolate, which I was like, this is so insane. Wild and funny. But that was really cool to see for us STEM lovers out there. One of the fun facts was I got to see Toto's seat, like the screen that he looks at. And, you know, whenever they pin him in the garage, you know where he's sitting. But they've had to reinforce the table that he sits at because he like bangs his fist on it. And so they reinforced the table, which is hilarious. And also, what's super cool is everyone in the Mercedes garage has a nickname. And Toto knows everybody's name. And if he doesn't know their name, he knows exactly what their job is. But they all have nicknames. So like one of the guys is named Flannel, for example, and I'll tell the story of why he's nicknamed Flannel some other time because it's a little long-winded, but it's just kind of cool that they all have nicknames and they go by that in the garage. It felt like kind of a family vibe, which was very cool. Obviously they travel together most weekends of the year, but it was very fun. There were a bunch of other things that we saw and talked about, but we'll do some reels on that and talk about those things as they come up. But I was absolutely pinching myself. So thank you again, Mercedes, Marriott, Gwen, whoever made it happen.
I'd like to thank my parents. No, Tiggy
was. This was for my grandma.
Okay, Lando. So Tiggy came up to the paddock club after and was just like absolutely buzzing. I loved hearing all that. And then after we wrapped up the day on track, we got to go to the Almave. Well, actually, it wasn't an Almave yet. They were serving Almave, but it was Lewis's plus 4-4 line. They did a collaboration with NASA and they threw this like really cool space themed launch party for that. So we got to go. Tiggy tried on a bunch of jackets, which I'm sure we'll be getting. And we tried Almave, which was good. If you guys, it's like Lewis Hamilton's alcohol free tequila brand and it literally smells like tequila. It's uncanny. So that was really fun. And then, you know, it was Friday. We went out a little bit, but we came back and had an early night because we had to be well rested for Saturday, which had a lot of fun things in store for us as well.
So for Saturday, we started our day again at the Miami Mercedes Club to watch the sprint race, which is the big Mercedes Hospitality Center between turns 4 and 5. And like we said, just so grateful to be there with Marriott Bonvoy. The setup was just a dream, incredible commentating throughout the weekend. I was like, they should hire this guy on Sky Sports or F1 TV. He was so good.
We could hire him to the podcast. He was that good. No, I'm just kidding. He was definitely better than us.
Yeah. He was incredible though. And they just had a lot of fun challenges and things for people to do. There were a couple of racing sims where Mick had set a lap time and people were trying to beat it. This one guy got within 6 seconds of Mick, which maybe sounds like a lot, but also just very impressive to even get within 6 seconds of a former F1 driver. But also some other things. There was like a football competition that I really was horrible at, trying to throw footballs at.
They wouldn't even like start the competition. They were like, you can play around with it, but you don't even get to do it.
Yeah, football's not my best sport, but that's okay. They were also just doing a lot of cool educational things. So shout out to Dylan, who works for Mercedes. He was walking around with a couple of really cool things. So one was Mick's seat. He literally had Mick's carbon fiber seat, which we'll do a reel on because it was amazing. But he was talking us through the insane details of that. He also showed us Lewis's old steering wheel. So we'll do an explainer reel on that as well. But he was super knowledgeable about all those things. He brought us wheel nuts and was talking about those.
He was like, these girls are nerds. I'm going to go engage them because they're going to listen to me. Nice. It was awesome. It was amazing. So also on Saturday was the first F1 Academy race. Saturday. So as a reminder, they have two races throughout the weekend. The first was on Saturday, and we kind of got to be – we left the Miami Club, and then we went over to their paddock to see what was going on. This was a big day, like starting the big push for all the amazing people coming through. A lot of the wives and girlfriends – in this case, it was some of the girlfriends of the Ferrari drivers – came through. Tiggy and I got some glam from the Charlotte Tilbury team, which was really, really fun. And yeah, no, it was just amazing. Like, it was jam-packed. Like, people were out there watching all of the ladies get in their cars. It was really special. And then we have to give a shout out. We met Morgan Riddle in the F1 Academy hospitality area, and she's an absolute gem of a human being. And we're so excited to see her wearing our merch, the red martini tee. And we absolutely love that she's been getting into F1. Of course, she is a star in the world of tennis, and it's just so cool to see her kind of like jumping across the aisle to other sports and supporting F1 Academy and these other women.
Yeah, so fun. One other thing, we got to see my mom on Saturday, which was so nice. Yeah. So my mom is not a big F1 fan, but she's getting into it. And so she brought a friend, and they got campus passes and bopped around. So that was really fun and cool. And we got to meet some of you that day as well. But like, one anecdote about my mom: first of all, they were wearing our merch, which was amazing, and they got some fun compliments on that. But they were staying at the same place that Daniel Ricciardo was staying, and they rode the elevator down with him on Sunday morning. And he had his suitcase. He was just by himself. And my mom was like, "We shouldn't be holding you up," because he like held open the elevator for them. Apparently he was so nice and so normal. And I'm still laughing that my mom said, because Danny Rick had a really good first half of the sprint Saturday, she goes, "Congratulations on the first half of your day."
Like, something that only moms can say and get away with. It was utterly adorable.
So funny.
And to end our day on Saturday, we had a very special guest at the Miami Club Saturday evening. Lewis Hamilton came by and spoke to everyone. And I feel like we took a video of his whole, like a lot of his answers to the questions that they asked, because they were just so wholesome. But it was overall, like, Tiggy, you add to this if you want, but we got to see such an interesting side of him. Like, they were asking him questions about the weekend, but he's such an incredible storyteller that he was kind of like tying them back to his childhood and growing up. And like, he grew up in the UK, of course, but his mother dated an American Air Force
someone who lived on the airbase in the UK. So Lewis was saying,
was American,
that he spent a lot of time on the base. And what they would do on the base, it was a lot of American kids and families, is they would, on Halloween, they would trick or treat. And so he's telling this whole story about why he loves America so much, because of, you know, the holiday thing, the Halloween, the positivity, the like fun nature of it. And then he would try and go trick or treating on Halloween in the UK, and like, no one would ever have candy for him, and they'd kind of just, what the heck.
But it was just like fun to hear this, like, this whole side of him. And then of course he's like the most eloquent man, so he tied that really well back into like his story about why he loves the US and we love him.
Yeah, it was just so cool to see a slightly more unguarded version of Lewis. I feel like the way that we see him all the time is obviously very polished and PR friendly, and Lewis is a relatively private person, so we don't get to see a ton of him all the time, you know, outside of press conferences and stuff, in terms of like speaking. And so it was just really cool that I feel like he let his guard down and was, I don't know, telling fun stories and joking. He was joking about K-Mag, not having K-Mag in front of him for the race. And just stuff like that. So I thought it was really cool.
And then on Saturday night, we were very lucky to be able to go to an incredible party that was hosted by Peroni. And Peroni, as we all know, is a sponsor of Ferrari. And it was very, very cool. They literally had a Ferrari car on a yacht, like, pulled up to this house, and we were all outside, and it was very amazing. So shout out to our friends over at Peroni that let us go with them, or
that
see
let
them
us
there.
In the door.
It was really cool, and they did an amazing collaboration with M. Jemmy Loafers, which was also really fun, and we walked away with some of those. Tiggy was sporting them today, and yeah, it was just really fun.
The cool thing about the loafers that you can't tell from the pictures is that we got them embroidered. So they say FTG on the side, which is so cute.
It was amazing. But that whole party was just an incredible testament to the power of like fun branding and collaborations, and how like F1 can be such a fun thing beyond just racing on track. So we loved that. I know this is long and we're getting into it, but Sunday was also obviously race day, the biggest day. There was, again, more action in the F1 Academy paddock. The WAGs were also there supporting. And then we got like cherry on top, doubly lucky, because in the morning at the Miami Club, George Russell came by and spoke to everyone. And he's like incredibly charismatic, like just as you would imagine him. And then, you know, just like talking through the whole race weekend. And he had this funny thing. The commentator or the person asking him questions was kind of like, how do you guys as a team prepare for like every iteration of what could possibly happen in a race when it comes to like a safety car, which is hilarious because of course there was a safety car in the race. And George was like, yeah, you know, like we definitely think about it ahead of time, but a lot of the thinking has to happen on our feet. And like, of course you can't predict a safety car. And then he made like this hilarious joke about like the only way that you could actually predict a safety car is like if you paid someone to naked to run out on track and like trigger a safety car just when you want it. And he's like, any volunteers? And Tiggy obviously like threw her hand up and was like, I'll do it.
Wrong. False. Fake news. But anything for Mercedes, you know?
Okay. Never say never.
Anyway, so also on Sunday, we had a fan meetup, a listener meetup, which was so fun. We got to meet a lot of you, which was amazing. Thank you for coming by. It was so fun to talk to you guys from all over the place, some local in Florida, some elsewhere. And it was so cool to hear all the teams and drivers you support and the races that you've been to or races that you're going to. And yeah, it was such a blast. It always makes our day, and it makes all of this worth it to meet you all in person. So thank you for being part of the community, and thank you for taking the time to come say hi.
And then we had a very lucky treat of a race watching situation. So some of the race was caught from the Red Bull Energy Station, and they actually had their F1 Academy drivers there for a little bit too, which was really exciting. And the energy was very electric. We'll give you a full rundown of that on Thursday. And then we ended the weekend in the absolutely electric Miami Club. Carl Cox, he's an iconic British DJ, kind of like closed the night DJing there, and people were dancing. The Miami Dolphin cheerleaders were there, like ripping out incredible routines. It was very fun.
That vibe was insane. You would have thought that Mercedes had won the race, but everybody was so happy for Lando and for McLaren. And we were joking. There is nobody in this entire stadium who is not happy for Lando Norris having
including
his
Max.
First win, including Max. Everyone was just so happy, dancing. And we were joking like, well, McLaren is a Mercedes customer team, so maybe they're just happy about that. But it was like,
I remember one point I was going up to the bar and someone like ran past me like, non-Max win, champion.
It was so fun. The vibe was amazing. You would have thought we were in the McLaren club, but
for sure
we were not.
And to round out the amazing weekend, we are now recording this from our rooms at the Ritz-Carlton. And so incredible weekend. And in honor of the amazing time we had with Marriott Bonvoy, they're going to be sponsoring our MVPs and LVPs. So this is the Marriott Bonvoy MVPs and LVPs. Okay. Ooh. MVPs. I think obviously Lando is an MVP, but I got to give it to the Ferraris too. They had some really strong pace. The pracing horses.
Prancing pace.
They had good pace. And also like shout out to all the people that made this weekend happen to us. They're the real MVPs.
Yeah, huge second to that. Shout out to everybody who made it happen at Marriott, at Red Bull. Danielle, thank you for everything. Just the entire weekend. Obviously, the people at F1 Academy, Katie, Evie, and co. But yeah, for MVP, I have to go with Lando. It's hard to go with anyone else. I think it felt so good to see him win with Max not DNFing. Like, I think it would have been hard. Obviously, yeah. Max had a little damage, or it seemed like he had damage going over that cone and potentially ruining his floor, whatever happened there. But it was so nice to see Lando win on merit, and real merit it was, and so well deserved. That safety car restart, he executed it perfectly. And as he was, you know, kind of building the gap to Max, we were like, is this real? It was those last 20 laps, my heart was like in my throat. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so, so crazy. I can't even hope for this until he actually crosses the finish line. But he deserved every single accolade and every single support and hug and praise that he got today, because he crushed it. Someone messaged us, which was funny, a listener saying, Adrian Newey announces his departure and Red Bull starts losing, which is funny timing.
All right, what about LVP's take?
Kevin Magnussen, you are my LVP of the weekend. Come on, man. He was all his penalties in the sprint, the way he was driving and holding Lewis up during the sprint and just kind of being reckless, I thought, and then taking out Logan during the race and
ouch,
a reckless way. I really did not like the way he drove this weekend, unfortunately. I mean, I love Kevin Magnussen, but this was not his weekend. And it sucks when it ruins it for other people, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't it. I will second that. But also, I think the Alpines fighting wheel to wheel on lap one was just absolutely whack. Like, they did not need to be, like, going wheel to wheel and basically hitting each other. It was wild.
That wheel to wheel racing was crazy. I was like, what is Travis Kelce thinking in the garage right now?
Oh, yeah, that's another LVP. They brought Travis, but not Taylor. Okay.
I feel bad for Travis, though, because it's like he's obviously such a star as well. And everyone's just like sad and disappointed that he didn't show up with his girlfriend.
I know. Well, there you have it, our Mary Bonvoy MVPs and LVPs. And now we'll be switching over to regularly scheduled programming with our full race recap.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spring is over, and it's not too late to get yourself an iconic pair of Tecovas cowboy boots before the summer. They are the coolest addition to any outfit and add such a fun flair to literally anything that you're wearing. And with every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, which means that you don't have to break them in. You can just wear them right away. It's truly amazing. And of course, the timeless Western style that is so unique to Tecovas. The boots are made from premium bovine and exotic leathers and can truly last you your entire lifetime. So head on over to your local store. It's the best way to shop. Grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop all of the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or any of their other leather goods. Tecovas also has beautiful classic straw hats and a gorgeous lineup of rugged and full grain leather bags. And if you can't make it to a store, don't worry, you can shop online. Just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Don't go gently, y'all. Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. We've always been huge fans of Marriott Bonvoy, and especially after this weekend, it was amazing. Marriott Bonvoy is, as we all know, an iconic brand that goes just beyond hotels, and they provide experiences that connect you to the people, places, and passions that you love. And with your Marriott Bonvoy membership, you can do things like get closer to the Mercedes-AMG Petronas Formula One team around the world, which is exactly what we did in Miami. One thing we absolutely love is the Marriott Bonvoy's Moments. It's an incredible experiential platform that matches you to once-in-a-lifetime experiences based on your interests. So as a member, you can bid your points to access amazing experiences like, for example, the Miami Club at the Miami Grand Prix, but also things like concerts and wellness and so much more. Marriott Bonvoy gets you closer to the things you travel for.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. And thank you for bearing with us. It was a very exciting race. So we have more to discuss, including Lando's first ever win after more than 100 race starts. So well deserved. We've talked about this a million times. We're really big fans of the whole team at McLaren. Everyone there is incredible. And so much work went into this. So we were absolutely thrilled to have been there. I'm Sarah.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. All right. Overall thoughts and takeaways from the race. This was really fun to watch. I think the Miami track was super fun in terms of racing, and I liked having the sprint. There was a lot of action, and also having F1 Academy there over the weekend and having multiple races for that. It just felt like a really fun, energetic vibe all around. Everybody seemed to be having a great time, and we were talking about it, and now we've been to all three US races, and I was always really excited to go to Miami, but I didn't really know what to expect. And this really blew away all of my expectations in terms of fan experience, in terms of the energy, the vibe, and the logistics, honestly. I just thought it was really, really well done. And so to have great racing and to have a Lando Norris debut win, is that the right phrase? Well, first win after 110 starts. Like, we couldn't have dreamed of anything better. So we have a lot to dive into in terms of who did well, who didn't. There was some drama on and off the track as always, but yeah, I thought it was an incredible weekend and so fun to be there in person.
Totally agree. Miami has a soft spot in my heart for multiple reasons. Last year at the race, I got to do a hot lap with McLaren. So McLaren and Miami go really well together. But I completely agree. I think from a track and fan perspective, I was really impressed. There's definitely some traffic getting to and from the track. But once you are there, I think the fan experience is great. There's so many interesting activations, food and beverage options, really interactive fan zones and experiences for everyone. And then, of course, a ton of hospitality and different team setups. But I think overall, great set up at the race. And I think it's making a case for why it's on the calendar. We had some incredible overtaking turns 11 and 12 where the Red Bull Energy Station is. I sound like a broken record on this, but that is one of the best places to sit on the calendar at those turns. It's incredible. Almost every single big overtake where you, if you were watching on TV, were thinking, oh my gosh, that was crazy. All the Haas battles from the Alpine battles, all of that turns 10 and 11. If you're going next year, remember this.
And Sarah will be sitting there. You can go find her. Yeah, I mean, you guys said everything. I just think the biggest thing is it's not often that you see a driver win their first race, and it's very, very rare that you get to be there when they win their first race. And I think just like not just be emotional, but like it kind of gives me chills, like just to be able to experience such an amazing moment and be able to feel all of that palpable energy. And like, Miami, you take the cake for me. Like, this is one of the best F1 weekends I've ever had, obviously because we had an incredible hospitality experience, but also because the racing was just top notch. It was incredible. And also a fun thing here, this is a challenging track. Like, a lot of the teams were having a hard time figuring out tire performance, getting used to the track, getting the right setups. And you know me, I always love when the field gets switched up. So to see, you know, the Red Bulls having to, you know, really take a second and understand what's going on with the cars as opposed to just like flying ahead the whole race was exciting and entertaining for me. Okay, what is everyone's favorite weekend moment if you had to sum it up in one sentence?
I can't sum it up in one sentence.
Well, try.
He's a DNF from...
Done. Tessera, your turn.
No. Okay. I'm going to be brief, but it's not going to be one sentence brief. Okay. Talking to all the drivers we talked to was incredible. So we talked to some F1 Academy drivers, Lola, Aurelia, Leah before the weekend. Those were just incredible conversations, and these young women are amazing. Then also obviously interviewing Checo and Liam, such a highlight. Anytime you get to talk to a driver face to face, it's just, it's, yeah, you, there's no substitute for that. So that was just an incredible experience. And then seeing Lewis and George in the Mercedes Miami club and kind of seeing them with their guards down, just incredible. So all the driver moments, I would say.
For me, definitely Red Bull. As anyone listening to this knows, I am a huge Red Bull fan, and I cannot wait to dive into all of that on Thursday, but absolutely incredible to get to see some of the behind the scenes at the team. And Checo and Liam, as Tiggy said, were incredible, so gracious, so friendly, amazing to talk to. And I absolutely cannot wait for you all to hear that on Thursday.
My absolute highlight, I think, of my life was asking Checo a question in Spanish. It just felt like so special and so nice. And we can't wait till you guys can hear what he had to say. Of course, we'll translate for you if you don't speak in Spanish, but it was just about like pride for Latin America, pride for Mexico. And it was just really nice to see him acknowledge that. So
he was really excited too when Chessa said it.
He was. Chessa, you crushed it.
Thank you. He definitely perked up when he was like, oh, someone speaking Spanish with a Mexican accent. Sounds good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now we have to do our hot take section, which this feels like the lamest hot takes ever.
Except for me.
Except for Sarah is going to be really cocky about this. But Tiggy, tell us about yours.
Mine was Logan points. Unfortunately, he DNF'd, and it was no fault of his own. It was Kevin Magnussen. So I am pretty bummed about it, but it is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is. Tiggy was really mean to me about my DNF or my DNF. Tiggy was really mean to me about my hot takes. So I was like, darn, like it didn't work. And she's like, that's what happens when you get really specific. So I had Lewis. I had Lewis podium and Oscar top three.
Well,
that's why I didn't say that's what happens when you get really specific. I was just saying, you know, if you had said McLaren, you could have had a 50% success rate there.
Ooh. Well, Sarah, why don't you gloat?
That's a good segue.
Now's my moment. I'm not often right, but I said Lando podium. So I'm proud of myself.
We...
Thank you for the enthusiasm, Jessa.
All right, for the sprint. So practice, pretty standard practice, but the only thing to note was that Charles had a spin out where he lost the rear of his car exiting turn 16 before he was able to get himself turned around. So that was a bit of a rare mistake and moment from Charles. But the real excitement, sprint quali. So interesting session. It was fun to see all the upgrades out for the first time. The McLarens definitely looked quite strong with a 1-2 and SQ1, which was, you know, hello foreshadowing. But unfortunately, Mercedes wasn't able to make it out of Q2, which was definitely a shock. Red Bull came out on top. Of course, Max said that despite it being a terrible session, he goes, somehow we were first. His first radio after he found out that he got poll was, lol, what happened to the others? I guess I'll take it. But overall, Max was frustrated at the start of the weekend. Also a bit of foreshadowing, I guess. You know, you never know when drivers are sandbagging or teams are sandbagging or not. But yeah, it was interesting to see that, you know, Max didn't win this weekend. But the sprint, we did have Max, Charles, Checo, and Danny, which was crazy. It was a roller coaster of a day for Danny in the end, but a big P4 to start the day off. And that was really exciting.
I do think Max is pretty accurate in the sense of, yes, by other team standards, sometimes when he's saying the car isn't up to snuff, it's still a P3 car. It's not as if it's actually an unworkable car. But I feel like sometimes when he is early in the weekend, I'm thinking of Singapore last year talking about the car not working. Sometimes it is actually like, whoa, this is... Granted, it's still P2, but
it must be jarring for him to be driving, like knowing everything that's happening with the car, feeling really good with the balance, feeling really strong, and then all of a sudden, like to enter a weekend and have it feel different. Like that's got to be jarring for anyone. So for the sprint, really quick, we had an exciting start. Max held off Charles, and then Checo tried to make a big move but couldn't do it. So Daniel Ricciardo got through to P3, and then we had an early safety car. So there was a chain of events with Hamilton late breaking, some contact between the two Aston Martins, which ultimately led to Stroll going into Lando, and they both sustained damage that they had to retire. And it was just such a bummer for Lando on what was already kind of a strong weekend for the team. He had new upgrades. And of course, we know in the end what happened, but it was just a bummer for him. He was just like so dejected and sad. And it's just such a roller coaster for everyone when things like that happen.
And then after the safety car for that, Max got away on the restart. Charles was solidly in P2 the whole race. I feel like Charles had kind of a quiet but extremely solid weekend. Checo had an easy pass on Danny to get P3. Lots of amazing wheel-to-wheel action. Danny held off Sainz for the whole race to keep P4, which was thrilling. Danny was so happy with that performance. Super long DRS train. Lewis was stuck between both Haases. There's a lot of back and forth in the middle of it all. Yuki had a great overtake to get between K-Mag and Lewis. And then, of course, we had penalties galore. K-Mag for cutting a chicane and then 3 more for other incidents.
I thought it was a joke when it kept like popping up on the screen. I was like, are they just replaying the same penalty? But no.
And this is only Saturday. We haven't even gotten to Sunday yet.
I was going to say, Sarah, do you want to tell us what you said about K-Mag or do you want to wait?
Now I can't even remember.
Said K-Mag is a tyrant.
I'm just frustrated. I feel like this is more for Sunday, but it's so, so sad when someone's race gets ruined, when it's completely unnecessary and from just really aggressive driving. And that's exactly what happened to Logan at his home race when he's having a hard time. The last thing he needed was to be completely taken out by Kevin Magnussen, who already had like 6 penalties for doing that to other people.
The last thing Williams needs is another repair job and bill for that when it's not Logan's fault for crashing.
Bill getting sent to K-Mag. That should be allowed. I feel like there should be.
We're taking it out of your salary. anyways, to wrap up the sprint. So actually Lewis ended up getting a post-sprint penalty for speeding in the pit lane. So kind of a lot of chaos. So in the end, we had the following drivers pick up points in the sprint race. Remember, only top 8 get points here. It was Max, Charles, Checo, Danny, Carlos, Oscar, Nico, and Yuki.
Shout out to Hülkenberg. The other half of Haas was having a good weekend.
Yeah, he was. We've had a lot of conversations about our thoughts on Nico going to Sauber/Audi in 2026. And I think he's proving himself pretty well in that Haas. So on to quali for the race. So this was also Saturday afternoon. So Q1, the big drama here was that Danny Ric was out in Q1 after an amazing P4 in the sprint. What a crazy, crazy day for him. Just kind of whiplash. Plus, he had a 3-place grid penalty for causing a collision for the race already. So not great. As my mom said, congratulations, Danny, on the first half of your day. Then Gasly had a great performance to get out of Q1, and the cuts were Joe, K-Mag, Danny Ricciardo, Sargeant, and Bottas. And then Q2, so Albon unfortunately had a big understeer incident of just not being able to get the car turned, so he was out alongside both Aston Martins and both Alpines, and that means that Nico Hülkenberg was into Q3, so we love to see it.
For Q3, Max got provisional pole and then didn't improve on his last flying lap, but was still able to get pole. Legendary. And the Ferraris were looking great. It ended up being Max, Charles, Sainz, Checo, and then the McLarens.
It was actually really interesting in Q3. I feel like usually the track conditions improve unless like weather or something is crazy in Q3, but the track actually got slower in Q3, which was wild. And it wasn't just Max who was not improving on his time. Like none of the drivers were improving on their last flying laps. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's what Lewis said to us. That's what Lewis said to us on Saturday night, that like the window for the tires doing really well is so small on this track that I guess that window happened in Q2. And then at Q3, they kind of already lost out on that. Okay, getting into the race, dun, dun, dun. Okay, so we're just going to give you a quick rundown of how the race happened because it was just an amazing race to watch. So crazy start. Checo absolutely sent it. He had, though, a big lockup in turn one, sent him flying past the Ferraris. He literally almost took out his own teammate, Max, which, I mean, the universe wouldn't have been prepared for that. So that didn't happen. But that allowed Oscar to fly through to third, which was amazing to see. And then, like I said, the Alpines were doing some very tight. It's honestly like conservative. They were kissing each other on the wheel-to-wheel action there. It was incredibly stressful, and they had both Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in the garage. So if they had taken each other out at the beginning, it would have been a look for sure. So for the first day, we had Max, Piastri, Charles, Carlos, Checo, and Lando all through, you know, P1 through P6. And then cone gate happened.
Then the cone. So this is around lap 20. Max just absolutely flew over a chicane. We've had a crazy day, so I still haven't watched the replay to see exactly what happened. But he got major air, hit a cone, which in F1 world is called a bollard, which I also learned today. And it was dragging under his car until it fell off. It didn't immediately cause a VSC, but it was very clear this cone was just in the middle of the racing line. So they had to call a VSC and send a marshal jumping. This is in a super narrow part of the track. Send a marshal jumping on to collect the cone, back off. Under the VSC, everyone kind of started pitting. So everyone at the front pitted, and Lando had track position until K-Mag struck again and helped deliver Lando his maiden victory.
Maiden victory. That's the word I was looking for. Not debut win.
Debutante win.
Maiden victory. So lap 27, what happened is K-Mag wrecked Sargent, and naturally K-Mag was able to keep driving. Poor Sargent had a DNF, but it was a big impact for him. He was sort of just minding his own business. K-Mag threw it up the inside where there was not enough space. K-Mag did get a 10-second penalty for that, but since the front runners had already pitted, it was huge for Lando to be able to get an easy safety car pit. And so Lando came out ahead of Max, which was amazing. So then we had a safety car restart. They were all bunched up. And for the first few seconds, it seemed like Max may be able to get Lando immediately, but Lando, amazing safety car restart, saved it in the first few corners, then quickly launched a second ahead, pulled out of DRS range, and just kept going. He kept pulling out a bigger and bigger gap. 3 seconds, then 4 seconds, then 5 seconds. We were like, what?
Tiggy was like, 5 seconds.
I was like, 5 seconds? I was like, is Max saving his tires? Like, what's going on?
I think it was at the 3 second mark. After 3 seconds, we're like, there is no way Max would let a 3 second gap build up to save tires. There's no way.
I think it was way more probable that he had had some floor damage from that bump with the chicane.
Yeah. He was also needing to hold off Charles behind him. And Max said he couldn't get the car to turn, said it was a disaster. I mean, he must have had, like we were saying, some floor damage after literally getting air off the chicane earlier and dragging that cone around. But yeah, it was, I mean, great for Lando. Absolutely amazing to see anyone pull a 5 second plus gap to Max, you know, just driving along. So very, very exciting.
And from where we were watching, everyone was just like literally holding their breaths for the last 20 laps to see if Lando could do it. And of course he did. He won by a commanding 7.5 seconds. It was insane. We are so thrilled for the teams. We've said it a million times. We'll say it a million times more. It's just, we love McLaren. Everyone who works there is great. Like, they just deserve this win so much. And it's amazing to see Zach and everyone celebrating. I'm sure you've seen it now too, but Lando like sprinting down the pit lane and diving into the mechanics and then lifting him up. It was just so heartwarming. And I think the best part that shows just, you know, F1 is an incredibly competitive sport, but these drivers like all grew up together. They all know each other, and they all just went out of their way to congratulate Lando. Max and Charles especially were genuinely happy. I think like seeing Lewis just give him the biggest hug and have the most beaming smile, like all just were so happy for him. Yeah, it was amazing. So in that vein, the radio of the week was, I love you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much. We did it. It was just incredibly heartwarming. And then I think runner-up radio of the week was like, I did this for my grandma.
Thank you, mom. Thank you, dad. This is for my grandma. So sweet. So, so sweet. And he said, we did it, Will, to his race engineer, which I thought was very cute.
For Red Bull, we had the most amazing time interviewing Checo and Liam. So many things to say, much more that can fit in this already too long episode. So we can't wait to discuss that on Thursday.
For Ferrari, pretty solid weekend for them. Leclerc P3, Sainz P4. But it looks, at least as of today, that the momentum is in McLaren's favor right now with their upgrades. But you never know. We'll see what happens. Again, we enjoyed the party a ton. Shout out to Callie and the Pironi team. And there are lots of rumors about Nui potentially going to Ferrari. There were tons of pictures and memes of him staring at the car like, I can fix this.
I can fix you, baby.
I can fix her.
I can fix her. Or I can fix him. Yes, it was funny. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think, to me, Ferrari feels like the most likely at this stage, but I am excited to have official confirmation or an announcement.
Definitely. We already had this conversation 11 or 12 times today. I think what you guys said to me earlier, which I think could be very plausible, is that like he's not in it for the money. Like he's in it for the project and for a big project at that. So I could see him like returning to Williams. He was at Williams from 1991 to 1996. And that would be a fun little return for him to try to fix that.
Yeah, it was reported by Motorsport that he is in talks with James Vowles, but I think every team is quote unquote in talks. With Adrian Newey. But the last Ferrari tidbit we have to give you is a little birdie was on Fred Vasseur's plane to Miami and told us that Fred Vasseur was watching Anyone But You on the plane, which is the Sydney Sweeney rom-com. And I think I have never loved Fred Vasseur more than I do in this moment.
Indeed. He's truly for the girls. I love that. Okay, for Mercedes, I mean, we had just an incredible weekend at the Miami Club with them. You know, maybe not the, you know, podium winning performance that they wanted, but P6 and P8 for them is not so bad. They actually, you know, gained a few points. They had some amazing wheel-to-wheel battles, especially Lewis and Hulkenberg, a little bit more clean than K-Mag. But I think the Mercedes in Lewis and the Haases just had quite a weekend battling it out. But we're excited to see what they can bring in Monaco.
For McLaren, Lando's car had upgrades, and boy, did it show. I think this drive just showed what a mature driver he is, ready to take the next step. I think being in first early on in a race when, or at least with 25 laps left, when you have Max breathing down your neck is incredibly stressful when you're going for your first win. And it was amazing that he was able to pull it off. So sad for Oscar, though. He was having an amazing race running in P2 behind Max, but had a series of unfortunate events. He had some contact or near contact with Sainz, had to get his front wing replaced, and then was trying to fight his way back through the field, but couldn't do anything to risk a safety car and blow Lando's lead. So really unfortunate for Oscar, but he will have his moment of that, we're sure.
He definitely will. For Aston Martin, a bit of a tougher weekend for them. They had some struggles in quali. Alonso did get points in P9 during the race, but Lance had a 10-second penalty and finished P17. The main Aston Martin news is Alonso is going to the FIA about quote-unquote nationality bias. So in the sprint, Hamilton had a move off the line that caused the Astons to make contact, and Stroll took out Lando Norris. And Alonso said that Lewis wouldn't get a penalty because, quote, he isn't Spanish. And Alonso argued that he would get a penalty for the same move as, you know, a Spaniard. So interesting. I don't know what will come of that, but we'll keep you all updated as things get reported.
For VCarb, up and down weekend, they had an incredibly cool livery, which was awesome. Danny, like you said, had an incredible P4 in the sprint and then struggled throughout the rest of the weekend. Meanwhile, Yuki had a strong sprint with an amazing P7 finish in the race ahead of both Russell and Alonso. Yuki seems to be leveling up. We love it.
For Williams, this was a really, really tough race for them. A P19 for Albon, a DNF for Logan, as we mentioned. Albon said that they struggled with grip all weekend. Then he was unlucky with the safety car. He said, quote, "It's probably one of the most challenging races I've had with the team." They're looking forward to some upgrades in Imola, but yeah, really tough to see that. One thing we didn't mention earlier in the sort of weekend experience recap is we did go to Albon's shoe launch for the new Everglade sneakers. So that was really cool. He came and showed up and talked about the process and why sneakers and why that launch. So it was really cool to see him as well.
For Alpine, points are on the board. Woo-hoo. Gasly finished P12 and Ocon got P10, which is their first points of the season, which is wild. Ocon was so thrilled. Even though it's a small step, it's still a step, and it happened with some really big names in the garage. So very excited for them.
Sauber, pretty solid for them, but they're still waiting and hoping that they can make an actual step forward and get some points. We had Joe P14 and Bottas P16. And then to round it out with Haas, we had K-Mag P18 with a 10-second penalty, of course, and then Hulkenberg just out of the points in P11. It's a bummer for him to miss out on the points when he's been on a positive streak, but I was loving the Haas actually looked greater towards the beginning of the weekend, so I can't wait to see what they will pull out.
And to wrap it up with standings for the Drivers' Championship, we have Max with 136, Checo 101, Leclerc 98, Sainz 85, Norris 83. He's coming up on Sainz, Piastri 41. And for constructors, Red Bull 237, Ferrari 189, McLaren 124, Mercedes 64, Aston Martin 42. And with that, let's get into our F1 Academy recap. So the strongest, most amazing kickoff on Wednesday with the community event. Definitely listen to our Miami preview for more on that event, but it was just so fun to kind of see the community and the fans come together. We loved talking, like we mentioned, with Lola and Aurelia and just all the amazing F1 Academy team members who were there. So super, super fun.
Yeah, incredible weekend for them. I will say this now. If people are complaining about no wheel-to-wheel action in F1 and they get bored, they just need to switch over and watch F1 Academy because it was jam-packed. It was really incredible. So quick recap for Quali. The Friday – or Quali was on Friday. It's only 30 minutes, so the drivers really got out quickly. And remember, the grid for race one is set by the fastest Quali lap times, and then the grid for race two is set by the second fastest Quali lap times, so which means – there's a lot of pressure for these drivers to get two really solid laps in. And at the end, we actually saw Abby Pulling of Alpine come out on top with a double pole position for the two races.
For race one, for our top three for the starting grid, we had Abby Pulling, Dorian Pont of Mercedes, and Honda Alcabasi of Red Bull. Abby really pulled away in this race. She led every single lap. Dorian Pont chased her for P2 the whole race. Bianca Bustamante from McLaren had a tough race after stalling out on the grid, which sadly dropped her from fourth to the back of the pack. And there was an amazing race from American driver Chloe Chambers of Haas, who worked so hard to drive from P7 to the podium. It was her first podium at F1 Academy, so very exciting. So for the final top five, we had Abby Pulling, Dorian Pont, Chloe Chambers, Tommy Hilfiger's Nerea Marti, and Hamda Alkabasi.
Very exciting. For race two on Sunday, our top three for the starting grid was Abby Pulling, Bianca Bustamante, and Dorian Pont. So Abby Pulling continued her sweep in Miami with another race win here. Bianca also had a strong race. She held off Dorian for the whole race to keep her P2 position and get her first podium for McLaren. So very exciting. She also had a Vogue spread this weekend, which was so cool to see. There were some DNFs during this race with Tina Hausman of Aston Martin out on the opening lap for the second race in a row, which was so brutal to see. But this time it was due to a snag with Lola Lovenfuss, who was in the Charlotte Tilbury livery, who received a 10-second time penalty for causing a collision there. So unfortunately for Lola, she had an incident during the race, and while she still finished, it's been reported that she sustained a small fracture to her right wrist. So hoping for a quick recovery for her ahead of their next round in late June in Barcelona. But man, these drivers with their wrist injuries, it's so wild. But the final top five, we had Abby Pulling, Bianca Bustamante, Dorian Pont, Chloe Chambers, and Maya Vogue of Ferrari.
So to wrap up the F1 Academy standings, we have Abby Pulling with 99, Dorian Pont with 65, Maya Wu with 51, Chloe Chambers with 40, and Bianca Bustamante with 39. And with that, we are done our Miami Grand Prix recap. If you're still here with us, we love you.
If you're still here with us, DM us.
Send us a message and just say, still here.
We hope you guys enjoyed. We had an amazing weekend, and let us know what you think. And again, full Red Bull Driver episodes coming on Thursday and the full vlog coming on Friday.